This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Friday morning service of December 29, 1989, for the Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas.
And took his identity from him. He fulfilled his own scripture, if you lose your life, you'll save it. And if you save your life, you'll lose it. But when they came and they hit him in the face, and Dr. Weiss says it was not just with the palms, the Greek there is very strong. They caught him with the fist. As he was bound, they hit him real hard. As he would go over, they would catch him and bring him back. And then they would catch him again until every muscle, every kind of corpuscle in his face, he was brutally marred more than any other man. What happened? They beat the identity from him. And what were they saying when they were beating him? Prophesy to us. Who is it that hits you? Two gifts are involved there. The gifts of prophecy and the word of knowledge. And those two gifts, if it had just been one gift, then we probably could have been argued, well, that was just all it was. No, those gifts represent all the other gifts. In other words, the gifts of the Spirit are in the atonement. By the beating of his face, he lost his life. Now, how does he find his life? When you and I release the gifts of the Holy Ghost, speaking in a heavenly language, prophesying, thus saith the Lord, moving in the gifts and the power and the anointing of healing and faith and wisdom, the miracles of God and the discernments and the words of knowledge. Glory to God. When the gifts and fruits of the Spirit, because why? He finds himself in the way you react to the anointing of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And you say, thus saith the Lord, and you move out in the gifts and the power of the Holy Ghost. That's when Jesus finds himself. If you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. And he lost his life for our sake. Therefore, he finds it within us as we release the fruits and gifts of the Spirit. Then it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. So now the blood is complete. Every area, every drop of blood has been retrieved. And now the saints are coming from the old city of Jerusalem. And Jesus hears the voice of the blood coming down the street. The conquering ability that all men now can be saved because of the great authority and the sacrifice of the cross and the blood that forgives. The blood begins to preach the unsearchable riches. It speaks better things. And as the blood preached down the street, the high priest stood. And as the blood found its place in front of him, the blood was lifted first. And as the blood was lifted, then Jesus followed it. Because the blood had to go first into the throne of God. And the blood on its way preached to the earth. Then it preached to the sun and the moon and all the planets of our little universe. Then it began to preach to our Milky Way, and the blood preached to every galaxy. All the universe heard that the blood has been shed, and men can be saved as they repent. The gospel has truly been preached to all of God's creation. And when the blood found its way and led captivity captive, a great stream of souls, they was taken up by the power and the anointing of the precious blood of Jesus. And the blood preached, hallelujah, all the way to heaven, through the pearly gates, down the streets of gold. The blood preached salvation, purity and glory, and forgiveness and love. The Father recognized the blood. The Father recognized the power and the authority of the blood. And the sacrifice was done. Glory to God. Strength of the blood. And then Jesus. The next action was Jesus took his blood, according to Hebrews 9, and he purified the heavenly tabernacle. He purified the altar of incense. He purified the golden lampstands. He purified all heavenly things. Hallelujah. Because the blood that purified. And as the blood preached, the glory, the authority, all spoke better things than that of Babel. Then the blood was put under the mercy seat. next thing that happens to the blood is that Jesus will bring his belt, what the Bible calls the vesture, and he takes the vesture and dips it. Now, vesture is woven. It's very thick. It's about 6 inches long. And on it is written, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Is that it? There's a writing on the vesture. That's his belt. And as he takes that vesture and dips it into the blood, all the blood comes into the belt of champion. And that's why you and I have the belt of the blood around us already, around our midsection. And have you wondered why the Boxing Commission has their belt of champion, and why the wrestlers, seems like every wrestler has a belt. Where did they get that? They got it from the Bible. They got it from the one who is the champion of champions, who will come and rule on the earth, because the blood of the everlasting covenant, the eternal covenant, has soaked into the vesture. Now you and I have the belt of the blood around us, and we're more than conquerors and overcomers through him that loved us. Because the blood, and every time you speak in tongues, the blood speaks through you. And the championship of the belt is around about you. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. You can speak to the earth. You can speak to all demon power. You can speak to all evil princes of the nations. And in the name of Jesus, because the belt of the blood is around us already spiritually, that, see, he has given us that privilege to walk in his power, his authority, and the goodness and glory of our God. Hallelujah! That's the strength we have. Now, Hebrews 12 goes on, and it says, we have come to the blood, and it doesn't leave us there, but I want you to underline and circle of sprinkling. And I wondered why, what in the world, to the blood of sprinkling. And for many days I looked at that, and how does that relate to the body of Christ? Of course, it speaks better things than that of Abel. But what is this blood of sprinkling? And so as I investigated the word, I had to go to Hebrews 9. So Hebrews 9th chapter, please. 11. Christ being come and high of good things to come, by greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. Hallelujah. He entered in once into the holy place. Once was enough. The holy place is in heaven, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse 13 is the verse I wanted you to look at. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes, now here's something new, the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? This is our communion service. It goes on down and says how Moses, he dedicated the first testament. And so Jesus brings forth, and in verse 20 says, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moses did that. And Jesus said, this is the blood of the new testament. Our communion services has lost the power and the original intent that Jesus our Lord wanted to perfect. What is it? It's in verse 14. Who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God. Now, here it is. Our communion services should be purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Communion services has come down for just taking a wafer and everybody crack it at once in some areas. It's more than that. It's more than just a remembrance of him with the mentality. It means a spiritual consuming by the Holy Spirit that your conscience, that man has tried, and religious spirits have tried, that you have a conscience, and your conscience will be purged by the glory of the communion service so that you'll see dead works and you'll serve the living God. Put the dead works behind us. And that's why our communion services are to take on fresh. Do it, Father. Amen. Do it, Jesus. Give us a fresh approach and anointing by thy word. Purge our conscience from dead works so that we can discern the body of Christ and the ministry of others and appreciate the anointing that's upon us. Hallelujah. So let's go back to verse 13. This is the word sprinkling we're dealing with now. For it's the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer. Ashes of an heifer? So now we have a clue. We've got to know what the ashes of an heifer means. Sprinkling. If he's the blood of sprinkling, we better know now what the ashes of an heifer means. Sprinkling. The Jerusalem Post has reported recently that they in Israel are now breeding the ancient bread of the red heifer. They're setting the stage. They're looking for not only the Ark of the Covenant, but the ashes of the red heifer. They can't sacrifice till they have the ashes. But to you and I, it means far greater. The ashes of an heifer sprinkling. But now, why has the writer of the book of Hebrews on the anointing of the Spirit brought it out? We've got to know about it. I always felt that, and I was told in my training of Bible college, that, well, these are rituals of Israel in the wilderness journeys, and they have to do with Israel, but now we're set free in the epistles, and so on and so forth. And I find out that's not the way. I find out I've got to know. So the Holy Ghost takes me back, and let's go with him to Numbers 19. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Numbers, the 19th chapter, we see here the quality, the authority of the sprinkling. Now we're dealing with here one of the great statutes of God. In verse 10 it says, for a statute forever. Do you underline that, please? Numbers 19, verse 10. So we know that we have to have the knowledge of these statutes that are forever. I don't want any whining and questions that, well, I don't know, I don't understand it. You better understand it. The Holy Ghost will reveal it to you. That's why we're here. It's forever. Maybe not in the same mechanics, but it has spiritual truth that is forever to the church. Let's begin with verse 1 in Numbers 19. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, this is the ordinance of the law, which the Lord hath commanded, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring thee a red heifer without spot, wherein is no blemish, and upon which never came a yoke, a heifer that's never been tied up. You shall give her unto Eleazar. Wait a minute. Give her? Hey. I had to stop right there. And I said, hey, did you know, Father, that some of your ministers that never recognize the feminine gender? Why should you choose the ashes of a heifer or her to represent the precious blood? So I had to deal with that. So let's hold that. Leviticus 27. This is the price of redemption when you come into the land, God is saying. And the priest shall give an estimation. And thy estimation, verse 3, shall be of the male from 20 years old even unto 60 years old. Even thy estimation shall be 50 shekels of silver after the shekel of the sanctuary. And please underline verse 4. And if it be a female, then thy estimation shall be 30 shekels or pieces of silver. This is the price of redemption. Now, anything that's taught in the Moses books, Genesis to Deuteronomy, and of course through the Kings, has to be filtered through the prophets if it ever is released in spiritual tone in the New Testament. Did you hear that? Everything that you and I, that is a statute forever, for us to walk in it. That's why it's very vital. You can't just investigate Numbers 19. Now you got to go to the prophets. So the full covenants of God are to be exposed in the life of every believer. Hallelujah. We cannot live our Christian life on the epistles alone. We've got to have Moses. That's why Jesus, when he walked with the two on the road to Emmaus, he explained to them Moses and the Psalms and the prophets. Amen? Because he's there. He's there. So now let's go to Zechariah 11 and verse 12. We've got to see what the prophets have said about this female price of redemption from 20 years of age. What was it? To 60? 20 years to 60. So Zechariah, Malachi, Zechariah 11, chapter 11. It's a beautiful portion of scripture, but we're pressed for time. Let's go to verse 12. And I said unto them, Messiah's talking, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 50, the price of the male, 30. You see that? Underline it. Don't you let any chauvinist minister rob us of one of the greatest truths of God's Word. It's not according to male and female, bond or free or Jew or Greek. It's the anointing upon the individual. The glory of God. Hallelujah. And so they weighed for my price 30 pieces of... And the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter. You think Judas betrayed Jesus? No. The Father's will was done in all this. It wasn't up to Judas. Sure. The heart yielded to, and so Satan came in through the covetousness. But what is here is, I want to bring out the consistency that God had in His Word. In other words, He prophesied it, but He knew exactly. And why He planned it this way is beautiful. And the Lord said unto me, cast... Now, I didn't mean to say, I must clarify, you know Judas was a free moral agent. God just has His all knowledge. That's why the Word will predict, and yet it will be fulfilled. And so the Lord is prophesying here, and the Lord said unto me, cast it unto the potter. Isn't that what happened to the 30 pieces of silver? They bought the potter's field for the poor to be buried in. The potter's field, why is it called a potter's field? Because there's where the broken vessels were thrown, discarded. A goodly price that I was prized at of them, and I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. So the prophet now is prophesying from one individual standpoint to the next, and he's giving forth a tremendous action in the betrayal of our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall I say this? Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to present to you that Jesus was not betrayed as His. And that's why the 30 pieces of silver, you're ahead of me, it's the female price of redemption. Jesus stood up for you and I. He took our place. Of course, we say He was betrayed, but He stood for you and I. And that's why they prized Him. I don't know what was the thinking of the priest, but they fulfilled the word. They prized Him with the female. They knew what they were doing. It was a ridicule against Him. And so, whatever their occasion, they knew to fulfill Scripture. They put upon Him the price of the female, which is the bride of Christ, the body of Christ, the church. Hallelujah. That's why 30 pieces of silver was used. Not the price of the male, but He stood up for you and I. He was betrayed, yes, but really what Satan was trying to do is destroy mankind, but Jesus stood in your place and mine. Says, I'm going to stand here, and you're going to prize me the female price of the bride. And it's the bride that's really being crucified. Glory to God. So we can be set free. The power of the blood of sprinkling. Back to Numbers 19. Hallelujah. Thank God for the word. So Eleazar, the priest, may bring her without the camp, and one shall slay her before his face. I'm at verse 3. And Eleazar, the priest, shall take of her blood with his finger and sprinkle, there's the first word, sprinkle, please underline it, sprinkle of her blood directly before the tabernacle of the congregation 7 times. This is the office of the blood of Jesus, that you not only receive the blood for salvation, but the 7 dimensions of the blood, which we will call in the revelation the 7 spirits of God. That's why Eleazar took the blood with his finger and put it upon the tabernacle, which is the body of Christ, 4, 5, 6, 7 times. And in Isaiah 11, verse 2, it speaks of the 7 spirits of God. They're implied. It doesn't say these are the 7 spirits. If it says that in Revelation. But if you want to know what abilities you have, let's turn to Isaiah and just quickly read it, and then we'll come back. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Isaiah 11, 11th chapter. I'll read verse 1, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall go out of his roots. Now these are the 7 spirits of God, and the spirit, small s, the spirit of the Lord, shall rest upon him. 1. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. You get 7 there? Let's do it again. The spirit, now let me explain this. Put down the word ruach. That's a Hebrew word for spirit. R-U-A-C-H. And that's the same word for Adam walk with God in the cool of the day. So the word cool or companionship with the divine deity. And that's the first thing God gives you and I through the blood is companionship with God. We walk with God in the cool of the day. The ruach. Doesn't mean 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It means you're walking with God 24 hours a day, all the time. And you're walking with Him in the fellowship and the power of the 7 spirits of God. Number 1 is this ruach, the spirit or fellowship of the Lord shall rest upon Him. In other words, God's presence through the blood comes upon us. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, we receive it, Father. 2nd and 3rd. The spirit of counsel and might, 4th and 5th. The spirit of knowledge, 6th. And of the fear of the Lord, 7th. 7 spirits of God. And in your commentaries, you'll find that that relates to Revelation, of course. Now, the 3rd verse says, and Dick Mills taught me this one. It was very beautiful. And shall make him of quick understanding. And that means in the Hebrew, quick means catch the scent of a hound. You'll have a spiritual scent. Like in the natural, the hound has a tremendous scent to pick up and can find and trace. So it is in the spirit. You have been released that you'll not just judge or you'll not just act or react by the seeing of the eye nor the hearing of the ear, but you will have quick understanding. Is be given by the Holy Ghost a spiritual sense that will be so keen that when our children need to be disciplined or in the church or in the secular life and our business, we will have quick understanding. You're going to know all the ramifications, buying and selling of homes or land or buildings. You'll have all the ramifications. You'll not be hoodwinked. Say it with me. I have quick understanding. Because of the blood, the 7 spirits of God, by the Holy Ghost, is on me. Amen. Hallelujah. Back to Numbers 19. All right, the sprinkling, the seven spirits of God on the tabernacle. And then, verse 6, and the priest shall take cedar wood and hyssop and scarlet and cast it into the midst of the burning of the heifer. Then the priest shall wash his clothes. Why? Well, I want you to underline verse 6. Why cedar wood? It means preservation. Will not rot. For cedar wood. Hyssop is faith. Hyssop means an applicator, a sponge. You apply. You operate faith. Hallelujah. Scarlet, of course, redemption. So cedar wood, hyssop, faith, preservation, and redemption is in the ashes of the heifer. Verse 9, and a man that is clean shall gather up, underline it, gather up the ashes of the heifer and lay them up without the camp in a clean place, and it shall be kept for the congregation of the children of Israel. Now we add something to the ashes, a water of separation. It is a purification for sin. It's a statute forever in verse 10. So now running water is applied. Let's skip on down. Water separation also is in verse 13, the tabernacle of the Lord. In verse 17, I must go on, for an unclean person, and for an unclean person, they shall take of the ashes of the burnt heifer of purification for sin, and running water shall be put thereto in a vessel, underline running water. And a clean person shall take hyssop and dip it in the water. So you take a sponge, you dip it in the water, and you sprinkle it with great force. That's the Hebrew word there. Spurt. With great force. Upon the tent, underline tent, and upon all the vessels, and upon the persons that were there. And where? Where someone has died. And upon him that touched the bone, or one slain, or one dead, or a grave, the clean person shall sprinkle. And then, of course, there's days involved, but this is the primary teaching, connecting with the ashes of the red heifer and the blood of sprinkling, is that God did not want any death on Israel. Every day, before sundown, if anybody passed away, a clean person, doesn't have to be a priest, anybody that knows the tremendous authority of the water of separation. See, God does not want any death to be connected with us. He's given us the blood. We're separated from death. So they would bring a sponge, dip it in where the ashes were in the running water, and as they dipped it in, they would come to the tent, and they would sprinkle the water of separation upon the tent. They would go in to all the furniture and the people that were there and the loved ones, and they would sprinkle them with that water. The heathens picked it up and called it holy water. There's nothing to it but to the blood of sprinkling. The water of the ashes of the red heifer, what is happening is all death and all the furniture and the tent. There's no death in Israel. It's lifted off of them. Because of the ashes of the red heifer and the water of separation, the sprinkling process has to be done. Glory to God. And that's why the anointing of the blood within us, and when we speak the word of God, and when we prophetically speak God's glory and speak the anointing of His word, we prophesy, we're lifting death off of people. I have prophesied over people. They've been set free. Brother and sister Ida Hosa had no children for 7 years. The first time we went to Nigeria, she was the last one in line of some 4,000 that I ministered to. And I called Benson down and prayed, and the prophetic word come upon them, and God in front of everybody, He spoke it. I will give you issue. By the prophetic word, they were sprinkled with life. Death lifted off of them, and 11 months later, they had a little boy. 11 months later, a girl. 10 months, a girl. 11 months, another girl. And Benson said, "Brother, pray again." The prophetic word. We prophesied to a young man that was helping us in Sepulpa, Oklahoma, playing the piano. I prophesied over everybody. About 23 people. It wasn't much in a little meeting on Sunday afternoon in 1975. Prophesied over the little babies and the children. Oh, the glory of God was there. And God said, there's one more. The pianist. I just had met the young man. I went over to him, laid hands upon him, and the Holy Ghost, the anointing of prophecy, the sprinkling of the precious blood was spoken, and he was released in a new ministry that has gone around the world, and David Ingalls was set free to write music that afternoon. God said, I'm going to give you a new anointing. You shall write music. You shall set the captive free. You shall set families free. The prophecy went on and on. And every time he put out an album, on the back, you'll see that prophecy. Let's go now to Isaiah 52. I'll just have to quit. I'm not finished. Isaiah 52. And many prophecies. Oh, to Sharon Doherty, Billy Joe Doherty's wife. Sharon said it was later on in 78 as the prophecy come over her. Now she's another great songwriter, and she sings to the glory of God. By the prophetic word, she was before that a pastor's wife raising kids, which is good. But now the ministry through the prophetic word was released. Hallelujah. The anointing breaks the yoke. What are we doing? We're lifting dust off of the earth by the authority of the Lord. When we praise, when we pray, when we glorify God and set the captive free, death is lifting. Not just one receiving deliverance. The glory of God is in the earth. Isaiah 52. How is it released in the glory of God's planning? Let's start with verse 13, Isaiah 52, 13. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at thee, his visage was so marred. Here we go again. His visage was so marred, more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. This was given 500, put it down by that verse, 500 years before it happened. So shall he, what? Here we go. Sprinkle. And the word there in the Hebrew is nazah. N-A-Z-A-H. Nazah. Means to spurt with great force. So shall he sprinkle many nations. And the kings shall shut their mouths at him. For that which had not been told them shall they see, and that which they have not heard shall they consider. Now let's wrap it all up. The glory of the anointing of the blood of sprinkling is connected to the ashes of the red heifer and the sprinkling of lifting death off of Israel. Now it's a statute forever. Now the word brings it over through the prophet Isaiah to you and I and says the connection is they beat him in the face. And because they beat him in the face, you have the power and authority of the ashes of the red heifer to speak the prophetic word. Prophesy to us. Who is it that hits you? Now we've been given the right to prophesy. And the anointing of the prophetic anointing lifts death off of people. And the power and the glory of God. He lost his life for our sake so that we will lose our life for his. And release the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Ghost and speak. And therefore, I'll keep preaching. Therefore, I'll keep prophesying in the 90s. And therefore, the anointing of deliverance shall still be in the household of God because it lifts death off of the earth. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father, for the truth that's in Jesus and the anointing. Let's just magnify him with the Holy Ghost language. Go ahead, stand up and let's praise him. We should shout the victory all over this place.
The blood of sprinkling sets us free. For you have come unto the eternal spirit and the covenant thereof. And as I, the mediator of the covenant, will mediate it and will explain it and will anoint you, it is my blood that's within you that speaks forth in the earth. So therefore go forth and say, O earth, 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 hear ye the word of the Lord. For the earth will respond to your voice because my blood spoke and my anointing is in the earth. So do not fear the earth. Yea, will work and my authority shall be upon you because my peace is within my people. Be not fearful, but believe and walk in the anointing of the cool of the day. And learn of me, saith the Lord, for this is your finest hour. I'll raise up the army of the Lord that's already among you, and my peace shall bring it to pass, for this is the anointing. And as you sprinkle the authority of my blood, death is lifted off of the earth, and the preparation of the Lord is at hand, and my people will be strong and do exploits. Release, stir up the gift, speak, and let the blood speak. For this is the day the Lord has made you for this day, and we'll rejoice together. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, precious is the soul that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I know I'll have another chance to minister. I appreciate your patience and really loaded up on the word this morning, but it's been a great time. All the ministers and the burden of the Lord seems to flow together. So when the cooks are ready, but next time we speak, we'll just have a little more time to minister and release that divine unction. But thank God, death is being lifted from the earth. Amen. Father, you pray for the meal. Ask God's blessing.
Holy Father, we thank you for this word that went forth this morning. May it be quickened and made alive and real within us as the days come and go until we stand in thy glory and thy beauty. And Lord, may you bless the food that to sustain these outward forms until we can come into that realm that we have no need of these things, but that we look unto thee, the great God of the universe, the life that is in the blood that shall sustain us and make us everywhere whole.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Shake hands with someone. God bless you. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.